Problem is, that wasn't long. Wasn't long enough. We needed a longer. I need more of that. I tell you what. I just need more of it. I hope you do too, because I could play it again. I've got more music queued up. Then I have to go another 2 hours, I think, for the music I've got queued up. I can't play it all. It just starts coming out of my brain. It leaks out my ears, kind of. And anyway, good morning. It's hot and cold Saturday morning. We're into autumn. Autumn has arrived with a vengeance. Not quite. It's nice. It's nice. It's nice weather. I can deal with it. It's okay. So I'm not sure about this nor'easter thing. I think we're not going to see as much as the mid-Atlantic states. So that's good. Well, we need the rain, but not the nor'easter part. So we'll see how that goes. Man, it's been a, it seems like the week goes by so quickly, and I don't think I get anything done, and here we are, it's Saturday morning again, and I just kind of wonder, what did I do all week? And then the memories come flooding in. But I started out the day. Last night, and I made a list. I got the list right here in my pocket. It's on an index card. It's on a Dick Hill Memorial index card. When Dick was still alive, I inherited a whole bunch of index cards from him. And he used to come in with index cards, and I use them now. Excuse me. And I went to Home Depot this morning because I had stuff on my list. And I walked out of the store with none of the I was walking into the store. I said, you got that list in your pocket, Tom. You're not going to screw this one up. And then I got in the store and it's gone. I never took the list out of my pocket. One of the things I was looking for was stupid money. I ain't paying it. I'm sorry. I'm going. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to the Habitat. I want a plastic or aluminum dryer vent cover. Just not for a dryer, but I need a vent cover. And I'm in a Home Depot and I'm looking at dryer vents. So it's got a stub, you know, to go through a wall, aluminum stub, and then a plastic cover on the outside. I just want the cover. And it was $17 and some change. Like, I'm not paying $17 for this spindly piece of aluminum in this plant. I'm sorry. I'm just not going to do it. So I'm in the studio here before the show, and I pulled up the eBay. And I can get what I want for half the price. I don't need anything fancy. And then I said, well, wait a minute, Tom. This gives you an excuse to go to the Habitat store and look at all the junk. Useful stuff. A lot of good stuff. I'm really pleased that there's one. Well, there's one, of course, here in Bangor. There's one down in Belfast now. And as you head further south to the more moneyed areas of the state, and the next stop down would be Rockport, you find nicer stuff. Not casting any aspersions on Bangor or Belfast. They have great stuff. But as you get into the more moneyed areas, there's really interesting stuff that shows up. And online, you can look at Kennebunk and Portland. And my head wants to explode because I know if I'm down there with any kind of money, I would have to exercise extreme restraint. And it's just fun to see what they've got. I mean, it's amazing the stuff that comes in these places, and all for a great cause, for Habitat for Humanity. So I'm happy to go there, happy to give them my money. I ain't giving $17.44 for a stupid piece of plastic. I'm sorry. Well, having said that, Pete and I had this discussion yesterday. I had a Toyota RAV4 we're getting ready to sell. Matter of fact, we put it out yesterday. And the little this is just stupid stuff. The glove box wouldn't open. The little plastic lever that you pull or handle that you pull to open the glove box had broken. And there was no good way to fix it. So I call my supplier for this kind of stuff, which is a national junkyard operation. And no, I didn't even call. I looked online. I found it on, yeah, I can order online. I can call in. I've got a guy. I got this guy, you know. And so I ordered it because I needed it. I can't sell a car with a broken glove box. I could, but, you know, it's not, you know, we're used to being able to throw junk in there. It's $82. And that was not a good price, but I needed it. Oop, and I hit the microphone. And it's less money than buying it. I would imagine buying a new one's a couple $100. So I paid the $82 and grit my teeth. Welcome to crazy land, huh? I mean, we're just, I don't know. We're going to take a break, though. It's 8:15. What do we got here? Let's. Do we want to go there? I can pick and choose. Okay. So we'll do this one. And we'll be right back. It is hot and cold. It is Saturday morning. Please stay right there. All right, we're back to 818. The phone number is 1-800-966-1039. Text line 601-207-4478. You knew that. I got to put my list back in my pocket for next weekend. I've got that. I got that index card. I got plenty of blank space for stuff to forget. So speaking of forgetting things, last weekend I went down to the shop for a while and wasn't much going on. Pete got lunch. After he got back, I took off and wanted to get Mother out of the house. And we drove around looking at houses. There were a couple of houses she wanted to do drive-by on. So we did that. And I got more to say about that in a bit. But I said, you know what? I'm supposed to, my friend Matthew had an accordion for free on Facebook Marketplace. And it was in pieces. And Maria, my daughter, has an accordion and she plays the accordion or makes noise with the accordion at least. So anyway, long story short, Matthew said I could have the accordion. I was number two on the list, but number one never showed up. So he was going to bring it by. He forgot. And then I said, well, I'll come get it. And, of course, I forgot. I've forgotten for weeks now. And I remembered Saturday. We were in Bucksport. We were back in Searsport. I said, you know what? Why don't we go to Matthew's and get the accordion? And my wife agreed. So I said, let's go. Matthew lives on the Winkumpaw Road. Now, if you've never been on the Winkumpaw Road in Ellsworth, it's rural. It's gravel. And it's a fun ride. It was a beautiful day. It was a great ride. I love going up and down the mountains and stuff. And so we ran out there and got it. And I'd been in his shop. He has a great shop. He makes my shop look like it's an empty shed. And my wife made the point, and we got the accordion, and I got it back, and I've got to do a little bit of research, but it's actually in good shape. It just needs to be put back together. And he found it on the side of a road, I think, and grabbed it and sat on it for 20 years or something, and now I got it. But my wife made an interesting point yesterday. Somehow we got on the subject. Most of my friends have not small places to store stuff, but they have warehouses. I, of course, have a warehouse or a huge shop, technically a warehouse. Matthew had one at his business. Now he has one at his house. My friend Jim, who passed away a couple of years ago, had a chicken barn. Now, a chicken barn is a whole, and she said he won, because the scale of a chicken barn is, you know, there's three floors in that chicken barn, and it's huge, and it's full of stuff. Jim filled it with junk. I've hung around with, I would say, pretty much in the past, I don't know, 10 years, has got some kind of mass storage facility, myself included. I've got the, you know, buildings at work. I've got a full basement that is mostly my stuff, banjo stuff related in my basement, although I do have the electrical, plumbing, painting, and tool department in my basement as well. And, you know, I'm kind of organized, as one should be. And I've been weeks now cleaning the shop and trying to be organized for winter, especially with the banjo-related stuff. I need a little bit of elbow room. So, but a very astute person, the woman I married, who realized everybody I know pretty much that I hang around with has got a warehouse of some form. So we got the accordion anyway, because I needed another music-related project. And I'm certainly going to learn about the construction of accordions. I already have learned quite a bit, but I've got to do some remediation to it. Not a lot, but it's interesting to see what how many of us out there are you out there in Radioland has ever been inside an accordion? I never have, but I can make that claim now. And the bellows is okay. And that was the thing that concerned me. The bellows would be messed up. But it'll happen. It's a long winter. We got a long winter coming up, and that's gonna be a thing. So in the meantime, my friend Steve, who doesn't have a single warehouse, although I guess he does. He's got a lot of buildings, and he's got a metal shop and a wood shop, and it's all spread out on his business property. Wanted a banjo. He's asking me about a banjo. So he wants a open back claw hammer style banjo, and he wants mellow sound. So okay. Lay down the gauntlet. So I said, what I'm going to do, regular banjos, the ones I make, standard banjos, 11-inch diameter pot, the round part. I said, Steve, I'm going to make you a 12-inch pot. Be a little bit mellower. And I've got nylon strings that we're making up, and I'm well underway. I made the 12-inch pot last weekend. Whole new technology for me, or new forms and stuff, and it came out reasonably well. We'll see once it's done if it actually worked well. But all of a sudden, I've got this. I wasn't doing anything with banjos for a long time, and I've got three or four in the works right now. And it doesn't take much. Doesn't take much to get them going. So that's. And then I ordered more bits. I needed some more banjo hardware. I needed a whole bunch of brass hardware. I got that. That mostly arrived yesterday. And then you remember something else you forgot, and now we'll order that too. But I needed some actual bona fide banjo parts for a different instrument I'm doing. And I think those are coming today or Monday. And that's very exciting. That's going to be a fun one. And I'll have to get some YouTube videos up, because there's going to be a whole bunch of stuff all happening about the same time. And believe it or not, I am going to talk about house stuff. We got plenty of time, and I've got a big list here. But one of the things I've been dealing with is there's an area I'm buying necks pre-made, and there's a little area that is cut out that it doesn't need to be cut out with what I'm making, so I need to fill it. And I've been dealing with different ways of filling it up. And trying to mask the fact there was a little cut on the bottom of the banjo neck. And the most recent endeavor is using epoxy to fill it, but then I've got to mask it because the epoxy ain't going to be the same color as the mahogany of the neck. And I think what I've been thinking about is, you know, we'll just have like an overspray of black that fades out to the wood. And you know, I've been struggling with, well, how do I do with stain? I get a spray can. And then I realized it's sitting on the shelf of my shop, and I've been looking at it as I've been cleaning up. I have an airbrush. Airbrush is perfect. So I got to dig that out and see if it works. It's only been sitting there for probably 15 years, but it's all there. And airbrush would be perfect, very controlled paint job. Who knows? Maybe that's a whole new thing, but we'll see. Been struggling for months trying to come up with a logo for these things. I have a name, and I'm not going to share it with you. Stockton Strings is the name of the business, but we have a name for the banjos. Won't share it just yet, but it's coming soon. And I finally came up with a logo that I like. And, you know, it was just one of those things, sitting there watching TV And it just kind of came to me, and I, oh man, that is perfect, and it fits with what I'm working with. So my youngest child, who went to college for graphic design, this has been passed off to her, and it's a very simple logo. But I said, let's see what you can do to spiff this up, and between her, Maria, and I. We'll get it done. If she's too busy at work, Maria and I will have to sort it out. But I think she'll get it this weekend. So that's, man, I tell you what, stuff is coming, and it's coming hot and heavy, and it's going to be interesting. Let's see. Got a message here. Good morning, Tom. New house and now need rain gutters. Any suggestion as to brand or type of material? Would be a DIY project. It is a budget thing, but for some reason I keep looking at copper. Pricey? Yes, it is. Doing one side of the house is 42 feet plus a downspout. No good reason, but I'm kind of, for DIY, I'm kind of partial to vinyl. And because I think it, I have no particular reason. I think aesthetically, aluminum would be your next choice. Copper is going to be expensive. You might as well just call the guys who crank out the gutters on site as one piece, which would be aluminum, because the copper is going to be more. So, I just took down gutters on the house on our business property when we put up the metal roof, and I'm not going to replace them. There's enough of an overhang. I'm not too concerned about the runoff. Where runoff is an issue, you know, downspouts and gutters and getting the water away from the foundation is really critical. I guess I'd be looking at price between aluminum and PVC and see how they compare. I don't know why my druthers tend towards plastic, but I got no problem with the aluminum either. So let's go here then. We got to take a break. And, that's not it. God, you know, I have this so... just bear with me. All right, we'll do this one. I told you, I got all these... I got too many songs here. It's just, it's going to take too long. I can't get it all done. I'll try. I'll do my best. It is hot and cold. We'll be right back.
My daddy was the family baseman. My mom was an engineer. And I was born one dark gray morning with music coming in my ears. They call me Baby Driver, and once upon a pair of wheels, I hit the road and I was on.
Likes to drink whiskey. My girl likes to drink wine. My girl likes to drink beer or scotch, bourbon and moonshine. Yes, I love my baby, but she's drunk all the time.
When the night is early, she's drinking out of a glass. As the night progresses, she's drinking out of her flask. My friends say I'm crazy, they say that this won't last.
My girl likes to drink whiskey. My girl likes to drink wine. Okay. My girl likes to drink beer.
Happy music on Saturday morning. It's hot and cold, 8:36. It's Tom, you knew that. I want to tell you about our friends at General Appliance over on Center Street and Brewer, open 9 to 4 Monday through Friday. If you're looking for appliance parts or service, 989-4341 is the magic number on the telephone, 989-4341. You ought to have it on your contacts list, because when you need it, you've memorized it, I'm sure. But just in case your memory's starting to go, I mean, I've had moments. I've had lapses of memory, and I don't want you to have that problem. If the refrigerator's gone down and it's Monday and you don't remember from Saturday, it'd be good to have it right on your phone, 989-4341, General Appliance. Good thing to do. And speaking of General, there's a General auction next weekend at Central Maine Auto Auction. That's a place where they auction off cars to dealers, but they're having an auction. General auction is open to the public. And I looked last week, and they're adding. They got a whole other week to add stuff. I just got to tell you, they're open to the public. They got bucket trucks. They got a lot of bucket trucks. They got a lot of forklifts. I mean, I'm always looking at forklifts for some perverse reason. I'm not sure why. There's some psychological damage done somewhere along the way. But bucket trucks and forklifts, man, you got my attention. And they're there. And they got Toyotas. They got everything. I mean, it's just, I'm going. I haven't told my wife yet. I'm not coming home next Saturday. I'm going to the auction. Yeah. I don't have a need for a forklift or a bucket truck right now. But when you need it, I'm just saying, you got to have it. It's just, there are some stuff there I'm interested in. I don't want you bidding against me if you come. If you see me there and I'm bidding, please don't bid against me. That's all I ask. I mean, you know, I've already told you now. So anyway, let's talk a little bit about how. Oh, well, wait a minute. First, we had a message here. Tom, how often do copper gutters get stolen for the copper? I don't think it's that often. I could be wrong. I think it depends where it is. I think it depends on the house. Depends how well it's attached. I'm sure anybody could get them off the roof. My old house in Searsport, and this is going back 20 years now, excuse me, I was not living there. And I had removed the roof, rebuilt the roof, and Bangor Roofing offered me a stinking good deal on a copper roof. I was going to get metal, steel. And he says, I'll give you copper at our cost. It was left over from a project at the University of Maine. My friend Noel Cirabella, who we lost a couple years ago, said, I'll give you this deal. He says, we'll loan you the tools to put it on. And you know, I had a lot of stuff going on at the time, doing the whole house over. And I said, I would rather hire your guys. I mean, you know, metal roof is one thing, copper is another. Difference, obviously, of course, the materials and experience. And I've since done standing, this is a standing seam roof. I've since done standing seam roofs. But I said, you know, you do it. I'll pay you guys to do it. And it was well worth that. But what they did was they cut the material on the job site. They brought the machine out, cut the material there. And I think it took a couple days. There's two guys. And I think they left the roll of copper on the machine. I was not living there. But it got done. And you look up on the roof, and you could see it from Route 1. It was like a shiny, bright penny on a sunny day especially. Just a beacon. Come steal me. And I had that thought, well, geez, when's this going to, how quickly is this going to darken up that it's not obvious that it's a copper roof? And it took a little while, but it aged and nobody stole it. And I was kind of paranoid because we were, God, that was November. I think they put it in. It was December. And it was wickedly cold the days they did it. What joy. Putting a metal roof, a especially a copper metal roof. It was like 5 degrees. I went down to videotape the guys first day they were there. And I felt terrible about doing this. But I took 15 minutes of video and said, okay, I got to go. It was cold. Anyway, it was done. It was a nice job, and nobody stole the roof. A message here, if he tells where his house with the copper roof is, it is more likely to be stolen. Well, first of all, it's not my roof anymore, I'm not going to tell you where it is. It doesn't look like copper. It looks bronzy now. And I subsequently built an addition and got a steel roof that was bronze, and the colors match perfectly. I mean, they're you really have to look and think hard to know that one is copper and one is steel, you know, painted steel. And I was a little bit concerned about the proximity of the two, but they are separate, and they blend. So anyway, houses, you know, as mentioned last Saturday, we were driving around looking at old houses, and there's one that has piqued our interest. And looking, you know, what I feel is affordable, to me at least, is a project house. And that means basically an older house, generally speaking. And the it seems like all the project houses I've looked at have some serious foundation issues. Old house in Maine, especially if it's not been occupied for a little while, can have some pretty significant foundation issues. And I was actually in the house a couple months ago looking at it. And we went over and looked at it last Saturday, and I just walked around the outside. It's vacant, so I walked around the outside of the house, and I'm looking at the foundation, and the holes, it's rock mortar with granite, exposed granite, you know, for the higher part of the basement wall. And it's all kind of moved a bit, and there's holes and gaps. And when I looked in the basement a couple months ago, I thought, well, I could maybe make this work. I don't think so. It's a big problem. You know, if you get into it, the way it's laid out, my feeling, what I would like to do is get somebody in there with some equipment, dig out the backside of the house, which is easily accessible and is not a major amount of earthwork, put cribbing underneath the house, take out the back wall and maybe a side wall, and rebuild it. And while I've got that open and a nice flat area, let's dig the basement down a little bit lower, reinforce the footings, which are usually non-existent in old rock mortar, and do it right. And it's like, man, you know, if I pay somebody to do this, we're into it some big bucks. If I do it myself, I'd have somebody do the earthwork. But if I did the work myself, it'd probably kill me. But realistically, you know, it's kind of project, sub it out, and I'll work on above grade stuff. I'll work in the basement once there's not mud and falling rock walls. But realistically, thinking about it, it's an easy $50,000 to get an old basement of this. You haven't seen it, but it's a pretty substantial project. And I said, no, you know what? I'd be better off building. If you're going to spend 50, I mean, in some cases, I think you can go up to 100 grand on a serious foundation job. You could put up one heck of a shell, even on a slab and a garage, and start with everything new. But I'm just stupid when it comes to old houses. So I'm not sure. You know, it's just one of those things. That's a lot of money. In today's market, nothing is inexpensive. It's You know, it's not a big deal that prices increase. I mean, that's just a fact of life. Over time, inflation, prices increase. But we've seen a real big jump in what, the past 5-6 years in prices since COVID, when everything shut down and the market kind of exploded and a lot of people wanted to escape to Maine, and all of a sudden the housing stock here and for the rest of the country too has all kind of come up to what seems to me to be a similar level. And that preempts a lot of stuff from happening. And really, I think, pushes a lot of folks into seriously considering building their own home. I think. Maybe I don't know. Maybe I'm just confused. But let's go to the phone and see how confused I might get. Good morning. You're on The Voice of Maine.
Oh, I don't think I'll confuse you, Tom. Those are good stories. Hey, on the roof stuff, we've got an old barn. It's got to be re-roofed. And I've heard about these metal shingles that you can put on now.
Mm.
And I'm curious if you know something about them. And if you do, what would be a good time of year to put them on? Are they cost-effective? You know, we could go to asphalt again, but I'm just curious about that kind of metal.
Yeah. There's a couple of different grades of metal shingles out there. And really the metal shingle concept goes back over 100 years ago. And, when I used to live on Broadway and there was a house on the back street, a couple of streets over, I could see through the yards that had, it was kind of a barn building and it had old metal shingles on it. And I just kept looking at, are those new or those old? So, those were basically just stamped metal shingles. And I like them. I think they're a great concept. The couple of aspects of this, you know, what makes asphalt shingles so wonderful is they're infinitely modifiable. You know, you got a roof with a lot of valleys and dormers and stuff. You can weave asphalt shingles. You can do a lot of stuff with them. Once you start working with metal, you got tin snips and you got a little bit, you know, you got a little bit more going on. What's nice about the shingles, metal shingles, is they're kind of petite and you can work with them as opposed to having a full sheet of metal like I was just describing a standing seam roof. If I was doing that myself, and I want it really simple. Two sides, flat, with a peak, and it worked. That worked well for me. In terms of metal shingles, there's a couple of different styles, though. There's the standard stamped shingle. It's got a nice painted finish that has usually a pretty good warranty. And then there is the metal shingle with the granules on it, like you would see on a asphalt shingle. And usually those are painted on. And I'm not as big a what's nice about those is you got granules, you get a little bit of traction if you have to get up there and prance around on the roof. I kind of prefer the other, the just painted shingle, because, you know, those granules are going to get loose, come off, and at that point is over time. I haven't seen them out there long enough to know. I do know the flat metal shingle. Has some longevity because I'm sure the roof I was looking at was 100 years old. It was still there. And worst case, when it needs attention, it's got to be painted. So you're not replacing the roof. You're just dealing with a recoat.
Oh, that's not bad.
No. Yeah. And I think price is affordable for the straight metal shingle.
Yeah, okay. Hey, thanks.
Okay. Okay, take care. I wish that they were available somewhere locally. I'm sure any lumberyard can get them. I don't know of anybody who stocks them, but if you just Google metal shingles, you'll see a variety of them. That being said, I think the cheapest metal roof you're going to get is going to be the screw down metal roof. Not standing seam. Standing seam is more expensive, but a screw-down metal roof like we've been doing at my shop, I call it agricultural siding roofing. It's got bumps every 8 inches or so, and it screws down. The edges overlap, and it's a great DIY project. If you have to start getting into a compound roof, like with the dormer coming out, that's when it starts to get complex. But they do make all the details. So Hammond Lumber bought out Ware Butler, who bought out Crescent Lumber, who had bought out Stillwater Lumber. Stillwater was making their own metal roofing. That has passed through now to Hammond Lumber, making their own metal roofing. They have a big plant in Palmyra, and they have one in, I think they still have the one in Old Town, too. So I said it a couple months ago when we ordered the roof. I get the roof, I order the roofing, I have it in 2 days. You can't beat that. And it is a great DIY project. If it's a simple roof, if it gets more complicated, you may need to hire some help. When I did the roof at my house, I had a standing seam roof put on. I hired somebody to do it because I had a couple of different things going on the roof, and I didn't want to mess with it. I have a business to run. One of the things when I did the house years ago with the copper, I said, you know I could do it, and I know I have the luxury of a little bit of time, but I also know I'm going to cut the living daylights out of myself. And that kind of, really, we had no injuries. We've done a couple of roofs in the past month and a half or so. And there was no bloodshed with a screw-down roof. But it was simple. It was nothing complicated. And I kind of like that. So we got to take a break here in a moment. Got a question about RAV4. I'll talk about that next hour. I'm making the note right now. I got a question about RAV4. There we go. I made a note. And it's not in my pocket, so it's right there in front of me. So we'll do that. We'll also talk a little bit about heat. The heat is on. The heat is on at my house officially as of yesterday. I think it was yesterday. I officially have it on, and I had to rewire something. We'll chat about that a little bit next hour. We'll probably have Pete with us. What do we got here? Okay. So we'll take a break. And we also want to talk a little bit about, I got time for this one. You know, so after evolving the thought process I don't know if I want to be dealing with an old ratty basement. Even if the basement's intact, it's going to be wet, moldy, old house basement with mud. As many houses are. Maybe I should build. So I'm looking to build, and the place I want to build is 500 feet off the road. My electrician said put some poles in, and I'm like, I think I want to do it underground. And all of a sudden it gets really expensive really fast. Either way. And so then it makes me think, well, do I want to do it off the grid? And then I said, I'm gonna stop now, and we're gonna just take a break. Tom, think about it. Got plenty of time. It is hot and cold though. Saturday morning, we'll be right back. Just fly behind it. Okay, we're back. It is 9:06. It is hot and cold Saturday morning again. I'm Tom. It's phone number 1-8. It's a phone number 1-800-966-1039. Text 601-207-4478. Let's see. We had a couple of text messages. Had great luck with T.C. Hafford Basement Systems resurrecting an 1810 house in Harrison. Let them do the scummy work and use your expertise elsewhere. Well, that's the plan. This is not just tightening things up, though. This is demo and rebuild, and it's all masonry, unless I did pressure treat it. But that's I gotta stop. Don't encourage me. So let's go back. Can you talk more about the RAV4? I'm retired, drive less than 10,000 miles a year. I like RAV4s a lot. They're affordable cars. They do a good job. I think, I don't know what generation I'd even call it, but around 2013 and newer are pretty reliable. Not that the earlier ones weren't, but potential issues with corrosion, rust, excuse me, because they're relatively or somewhat newer cars. Big thing I look for on any car is, you know, how much rust are we dealing with? And beyond that, things are pretty decent. RAV4 is reasonably affordable, the gas version, to operate. No big surprises that I can relate. I prefer the RAV4 hybrid, which may not make sense for somebody driving not a lot of miles, unless you found a deal on one. What I like about the RAV4 hybrid, of course, is it gets excellent gas mileage, but it's also quieter than just a straight gas car. I've driven both recently, and I have no qualms about either. The other one is a Highlander, which is what Pete drives. A little too big for my needs, but I like that one a lot too. So that's it. It's just a good car. And there's a reason we keep getting them is because we like them. We deal with we haven't had any major surprises with RAV4s. I'm trying to think of nothing of any consequence. Occasionally we have to replace a drive shaft or something on a four-wheel drive, but that's not much. No drive shaft on the four-wheel drive hybrid RAV4, which is a plus. The rear wheel operates electrically. So, good cars. What do we got here? We got another message. Why not integrated solar panels and car roofs by the manufacturers? Excuse me. Because it doesn't do much. It depends on the car, too. Toyota had a version of the Prius that had an integrated solar panel in the car roof to operate a ventilation fan so the car wouldn't get real hot on sunny days. I don't know. I'm sure that the extra expense was not insignificant. When we get cars that have it, it's incidental. I mean, I think a lot of car dealers don't even know that the car has a solar roof. There are cars, small electric commuter-type vehicles that are for in-town travel that have more solar panels than a solar roof Prius would, that actually do pretty good. You're not going to go real far in them, but with solar. But if you're just scooting around town, you can run a lot of it on just the sun. Let's see. We got a call on line one. Let's give it a go. Good morning. You're on the Voice of Maine.
Hey, good morning, Tom.
Hi.
Speaking of RAV4s, I have had a RAV4 plug-in hybrid for almost 3.5 years.
Mm-hmm.
And my only buyer's remorse is the color, which is black, which you can't keep looking good no matter what you do. But I had a question about the strictly electric operation portion. I feel like I'm getting a bit less per charge. than I did, you know, in its younger life. And, you know, I went noodled online a little bit and said, you know, one of the things to do is to not charge it to 100% too often. I'm like, well, geez, that's what I always do because that's, you know,
yeah.
That's why I had it, so I can go somewhere. So is there a way to, A, is it expected that it will diminish its output a little bit as it gets older? And is there a way to revive that?
Yeah, there's really no way to revive it. The lithium pack, so it has they're pretty reasonably robust. The amount of deterioration in performance is just in your case, you know, something you're going to live with. But the it's kind of hard to not charge it to 100%. It's just convenient, plug it in, and you walk away. The other part of it, though, is not to discharge it too far. So you discharge maybe to 20%. Now, the beauty of lithium batteries is you can go down to 20% and not affect the longevity of the battery. And then if you can interrupt the charge cycle, if you have an idea how long it takes to charge, you can always shut it off prematurely. But ideally, I mean, when we have an electric car, we always charge it to 100%. My experience is, if the battery is cycled regularly, it tends to enhance the range. So that would be the only thing I can say. If you have not that many miles on the car, I know there's some kind of battery warranty that all these guys have, and you may, if you're beyond something like 70 or 80% of when it was new, if that range has dropped down low enough, you need to talk to the dealer about getting a new battery under warranty.
Yeah, at this point, it hasn't dropped too much, but a little, you know. I pretty consistently a little bit, but
yeah.
Other than that, it is a great car.
So then, you know, at this point, don't over-discharge it. Don't go down to zero. If you can avoid that, you know, run it in eco mode as opposed to straight EV mode when you get down to 20%. And I think that'll help in terms of keeping it as good as it can be.
Okay. So now on the car, it's got a gauge, and it's a little bit of an arc, goes from 100 to zero, and I'm at some point it turns from green, there's a green stripe, turns to a blue stripe, and it doesn't go below the blue stripe. Is that the 20% line?
Boy, yeah. I don't know. I've not driven a Prime, a RAV4 Prime, and I have to go back and look at my hybrids. Certainly blue is, I think you're in the mid-range at that point. You're not necessarily down to 20%. So that would be, that's the best I can offer right now.
I'm just thinking maybe that's a sort of self-protectant thing built into it, because the needle won't go into that blue area. Once it gets to the border of the green and the blue, it stops, and I go to the HV mode.
Yeah.
So perhaps that's what that is.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, very good, sir.
Thanks for calling. See ya. At that point, it'd probably be good to, as you're doing, switch over. I mean, you're going to see a little bit of deterioration. So if let's say for the sake of discussion, you started out with 40 miles range. I don't think the Prime goes that high, but let's say it's 40 miles range. I would expect to see that drop about 10% over 3 years. That may be a little strong, but again, I would also look at the warranty, see where you're at with the warranty, because they do offer some reasonable coverage. So, okay, I got to hit the. I'm really well coordinated here, because I literally have too many cuts, but we're gonna go with this one. It is Hot and Cold Saturday morning, 9:16. We'll be right back. We'll be right back. Okay. Guys, enough. These people, they wander in the hall out there, and they want to stop. Okay, we're back. 9:20 is hot and cold. Good morning again. Heat. We need heat. Doggone it. The heating season has begun. And I've been accumulating. I do have firewood. I have hardwood firewood we've cut up and is outside stored. But I also bring home any project at work, which is where the projects are lately. There's always scrap wood. Scrap hardwood banjo bits. There's scrap two-bys, and I just keep getting boxes and filling them up and bringing them down to the basement. I'm ready, man, I'll tell you what. And I've got the new oil tank all plumbed up, and we're just running off the old tank till we empty it. And then I just switch the fuel line over, and we let her rip on the new tank and get the old tank out. I'm not sure about getting it out and where it goes once it gets out of the house, but I guess I'll figure that one out when the time comes. But so officially on all the time, and the I haven't quite picked up on it till last night around 9 o'clock. It was short. The burner was coming on and kicking off right away, coming on and kicking off. And I'm like, nah, do I need to clean? Is the nozzle dirty? What's something going on here? So I went down, and usually it's not. It's usually a control issue. And it was, my outdoor reset control was having a little bit of hysteresis, which is an electronic term for it's hysterical, and it's going on and off and on and off. So I disconnected the outdoor reset control, and at 9 o'clock at night on a Friday night, the day before the big radio broadcast, is not the ideal time that I choose for doing a project like this. And I'm trying to sort out, because I had undone some controls end of last winter, and I'm not quite sure what I did. So I'm down there with a multimeter, trying to figure out the relay that I need to hook up to, and so I got it done, and it was working. And then we're going to bed, right? An hour and a half later or so, and it starts doing it again. And I hit the I got big mitts here. I keep hitting the microphone. It's doing exactly the same thing. It was another control on one of the convectors, which I didn't think were hooked up. I thought I disconnected all the convector controls, which apparently I have not. So today, sometime today, I'm going down to the basement, and I'm going to dig through everything and start. I'm going to disconnect everything and start over. Disconnect most of it, not all of it. And I'm taking the outdoor reset control out because I'm not happy with the way it's working. And we'll make it work right. And you know, it's to the point, my house many times because of these things that I do becomes like Dr. Zhivago, you know, when he comes home and his wife is freezing. I live that. So I would prefer not to have my wife be Mrs. Zhivago if I can avoid it. So we'll see. At work, I haven't turned the heat on yet. And I want to change. I've got a new vent to put in. I've got the correct vent for the boiler. I jerry-rigged the vent when I put it in. And it works fine, but I would like to use the official correct vent that the boiler company made, and it requires some whittling on the building, and a couple of things I want to change around before I fire up the system. So I've got a small drip on something that shouldn't be there. So I got to do it, and we got time. We got the nor'easter coming, so it's going to rain all week. So I could do at least some of it. We'll see how it goes. something to look forward to, I guess. 1-800-966-1039 is the that's the phone line, yeah. 601-207-4478 is the text line. Got a text message, no heat till trick or treat. Okay. Are you married? It does make a difference. It does. I'm telling you. Does that mean no wood stove too? I think it would be good to have a wood stove going on a cool night. Especially, well, you know, I don't mind. The weather's not bothering me that much. The house has stayed reasonably comfortable. The problem is when it rains, we had the rain the other day, you know, it just kind of chills things out a bit because no sun coming in the windows. And we've been blessed with such fantastic weather. And, you know, it was, it's been all week just about, well, the turkeys are out in full regalia. And just about every day this week, there's been turkeys. There's been 9 turkeys around my house. And they just, I'm curious as to what they're eating. If it's bugs, if it's ants, is it, I would be nice if it was ticks. I'd pay them for that. But the they seem to have something. They're enjoying something. It's not near any bird feeders or anything, so I'm not quite sure. But I guess, and they're fun to watch. They're getting really fat. I mean, they were just juvenile. They appeared like they were just adolescent a month ago, and now they look like Thanksgiving dinner. Let's see. Should I turn off my heat pump when it's single digits and only use wood? No, I would leave it on. I would use wood, but I would leave it on just for backup. It's easy enough to do. And if you the wood stove, if you're running the wood stove, it's going to heat the house enough that the heat pump's not going to come on or it'll only be coming on for a limited time. Let's see. Try adjusting the hydrostat. I'd like to set cold start above 20 degrees. This is not a conventional boiler I'm doing this on, so that's not going to fly on this one. And it's not doing anything peculiar now. So it was a control issue. I'd gotten some. I'll share a story with you. I'd gotten some convectors when we did the house over, with the intent that they would eventually be hooked up to a heat pump, so they're reversible. They can heat or cool. The problem has been on the heating mode, we have the same kind of hysteresis issue. In other words, when it's right out of set point, it goes click on, click off, click on, click off, and it's absolutely maddening. So I thought I had disabled the part of the system that actually turns on the boiler. In other words, the fan and the convector still worked, and I have a wall thermostat to turn the heat on that operates radiant panels I had put in, and I set it up so it also everything runs at the same time. When calls for heat, radiant panels come on, all the convectors come on. To the convectors come on. And if that room happens to be cooler and the thermostat in the unit is calling for heat, the fan comes on and quickly, you know, shoots a whole bunch of energy into that room. But it does not control the oil burner. And that works, I thought. I've got to go see what I did. It's just I did something weird, or I reconnected it. I don't know. So I'm just going to take it all apart and rewire it. It's not a big deal. So all low voltage wiring, I'll have it done in 15 minutes once I figure out what I take it all apart. I can redo it again. Let's see. Going back to turkeys, yes, they eat ticks. They patrol our property and deer aisle. We never see a tick. I haven't seen a tick for a while either, and if that's what they're eating, God bless them. All right, we got to take a break. It is 9:30. What do we got here? Do we want to play that one? No. Want to play that one? Yeah, that's a good one. It doesn't take long. I figure it out. I mean, it's under control here. Oh, it's got a banjo? We'll be right back.
Summer in the city. It's getting hotter every year. Why have to throw a party when the smoke clears? Hit the bodega.
And don't you come back no more, no more, no more. Hit the road, Jack. And don't you come back no more.
Ah, that's right. Hit the road, Jack.
That's it,
and don't you come back no more, no more, no more, no more. Hit the road, Jack. And don't you come back no more.
What you say? Away, but I'll be back on my feet someday.
Don't care if you do, cause it's understood. You ain't got no money, you just ain't no good.
Well, I guess if you say so, I'll have to pack my things and go.
That's right, hit the road, Jack. Don't you come back no more, no more, no more, no more. Hit the road, Jack. And don't you come back no more.
What you say?
Hey, Ray, it's Sam.
Wait a minute. That's not part of the show. This is part of the show. And I ain't the senator, he ain't the senator's son, it's Pete, though, over on line three. Good morning, Pete.
Funny you should mention that.
Okay.
Because I read in the news today that apparently the governor is going to run for Senate.
Okay.
Which means, I think, if you don't count the other candidates, that means I'm running uncontested for governor. Just to recap,
okay.
Just to recap for everybody listening, yeah. So she's going to go be a senator, I guess, or something, which means I'm pretty much, the election is a formality at this point. But once I'm in, all right, we're going to get rid of main state income tax, we're going to tax tourists coming in vehicles, and no property tax for any properties under 200K.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to keep house values down, house prices down.
Okay.
And we're gonna get the healthcare set up. I'm gonna get the healthcare system in Maine set up so that it is the model for the rest of the country.
All right. There.
I'm not even sure. I'm 95% sure I don't have the legal authority to just march into hospitals, these private corporations, these for-profit healthcare centers, and just start picking things apart. But I'm going to.
Okay.
So it's gonna be a little bit. You know, I think here's the thing. It's one of those things. It's gonna be a little bit totalitarian. But I feel like the rank and file populace of the state is going—they're going to be with me on this. It's like, we don't care. Go ahead, do it. They're like, I got a bill for $15,000 for stitches. So no, yeah, you do what you want.
Pete Joseph Stalin.
I saw a thing in 19. Yeah, now don't compare me to Stalin. I saw a thing in 1956. It's a receipt from a birth delivery. You know, the birth of a child in a hospital in Minnesota.
Yep.
And the total. Adjusted for, I forget what the total was on the bill, but I remember what it was adjusted for inflation. It was $1,200.
Yeah.
Now, I know things are probably a little bit different in the maternity ward today than they were in 1956.
Yeah.
But, you know, even if we multiply that $1,200 times 10, it doesn't come close to touching what it costs to give birth now.
Well, let me tell you something.
Because the TV's better.
The
and they could smoke while they were giving birth back then too.
Yeah. You and your brother, our first two children, we had insurance, had hospitalization.
Did you really?
For Maria and Hillary, we did not. And I was able to afford to pay for that without hospitalization.
That's
and that was
right.
going
That's
to the
right.
hospital. That was going to the hospital, wasn't it?
You know what they do? You know what they do now with deliveries is if you don't have insurance or anything like that, as far as I understand it, they'll find a way for some government thing to pay for it, and then that's when the bill explodes.
Well, we didn't have that.
Everything's got to be a C-section. Everything's got to be a C-section nowadays because that makes it more expensive. It's all got to be C-sections because they're
all right,
very expensive.
Okay, all right. Pete, let's not get too far out there. Not everything is a C-section. God.
Yeah, but you know what I mean. Like nowadays, though, it is mostly because they can bill your insurance. Yeah, have you ever noticed everybody you know with good insurance goes to the doctor incessantly? They've always got, once they go, the doctor comes up with some reason that they have to keep coming back every month. Mm. Yeah, I'm going to put a stop to that nonsense right away. There's nothing wrong with you. Quit faking it. You're not special. You are special. We all think you're special. You don't need to be like, well, I have this, and this, and I have to go get my prescription. You know, come on, knock it off.
Oh, God.
Because those of us without insurance, we seem to be just fine.
Yeah, well, you're young.
We can't afford, you know, like if we break a leg, we can't afford to get that fixed. But, you know, we don't have all these yeah, you got to come back next month, you know, things. That mysteriously everybody with insurance does. I'm pulling this whole system down. I'm taking it down brick by brick. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to set up our own hospital, state-run hospital. I've talked about this before, right? And I'm going to have all sorts of incentives and benefits for doctors and nurses to come work at my hospital. So I'm going to get all the best of the best in them, all right? And then I'm just going to let yours crumble.
Okay.
At any rate, it seems like I'm going to be governor.
Okay. Well, you got
no, I'm going to do some sort of, I'll figure out some sort of rebate for if your vehicle rusts out, too, based on the year and the mileage and all that.
Well, okay. Here's something so, based in
like,
reality.
Like if you're driving
Pete, I'm going to turn you down if you don't stop talking. God.
Oh.
You know, I usually disconnect people. I'm going to turn them down right now. Pete, listen to me. You change what you put on the roads that's making all the cars rust out. You guarantee that, and you get elected. I turned you back up again so you could talk.
Well, I have not been issued my grant from MTI to study what we're putting on the roads now and reasonable alternatives. I haven't submitted the grant, but I have talked to somebody that has written grants before, and she thought it was a great idea.
All right.
And she actually kind of started to write the grant right there. But in the meanwhile, if your car is under a certain age and under certain miles and it's rusting out or won't pass inspection,
mm-hmm.
the state's gonna deal with it because it's technically our fault.
Well, that's true.
For what we're putting on the road. Now, I mean, if you're driving a 25-year-old car with 300,000 miles on it, I mean, it's, yeah, that's a little bit, I can't be paying to fix the
okay.
rust on
all right.
that.
So okay. let's do this. But okay, you're governor.
You're
governor now, okay? You may,
guns
they,
for
they,
everyone.
They voted you in, and your governor is a pot in every duck. You would then have the authority to go to DOT, say, okay, give me cost for making the change to something that's not going to rot out everybody's car in 2 years, 3 years. And you have that power. You don't have to go to MTI. You don't have to do – I'm sure they know. I mean, there's states out there that are doing this and having good success. And I know it's available and it's more money. But what we have right now is an ad hoc tax that we all pay for to have.
It's very true.
Yeah. And you know, I'm going to say, if you have a car and it rusts away prematurely, how much does it cost you to replace that car as opposed to maybe having another 5 years of life out of it? So let's say for the sake of discussion, $1,000 a year, that's cheap money. That's $5,000. So if you take $5,000 per driver in the state of Maine, multiply that out, does that fit with what we can do on the roads in terms of, you know, offsetting one, offsetting the other.
Yep.
Might, it might. But that's you as governor will have that ability.
I won't need to do it. I'm just going to, I'll put you in charge of it.
Oh, thanks.
Don't worry. It's going to be a good, it's going to
I got
be
a message
salary.
Here. This is great. I got to look up this word. Schlub from beer brewing, which
schlub.
Is a byproduct. Schlub. Schlub in my office now is from byproduct from beer brewing is what they use in the Netherlands. I like it.
Okay, fine. Let's use it.
Schlub. I thought that was a. I thought. Well, yeah. They just people call
buddy,
people schlubs.
I got a buddy lives up in Fairbanks, Alaska, and most of what they do up there is just sand because everybody understands that all-wheel drive is not all-wheel stop. So you just drive slower on the sanded, compacted road.
Yeah.
And you most of what they use up there is sand. They do use some of the same acid we do, but.
So the word schlub,
yeah,
I just
schlub.
Looked
Let's
it up.
Get some schlub and some beet
it's,
juice.
It's a derogatory informal noun, talentless, untidy, unattractive person, which is a
That's
Yiddish,
be the
Yiddish word.
For
that
my, for
which
for my campaign, vote for schlub.
Schlub. Schlub beer.
I'm very clean. I'm just kidding. I'm very tidy.
Schlub beer, recognized beer term. Schlub juice, which
but
is misunderstood.
You're correct. You're correct in that it is basically a tax. You know, I mean, I understand that. You know, we're also banging the drum saying, "Hey, do something so we could drive around after it snows." But at the same time, what they're doing is dissolving an already depreciating asset. I mean, how many cars? Everybody here has had a car and knows someone that has had cars. Everybody has had a car that has prematurely gone out to pasture because it rusted out. That was the only thing wrong. How many people come get in touch with us to see if we want Prius parts?
Yeah.
Like, yeah, my car won't pass inspection, you know, on an older one.
We deal with it every
rust,
day.
It runs fine otherwise, yeah.
We deal with rust every day. And more so than the general public. And any car dealer does, or anybody who's in the automotive industry, it goes for mechanics. Poor mechanics
yeah.
have to try to take that rotted whatever out of the brake, who's a Mawatsis. And
here's the thing. I had a RAV4 that I had in at the mechanic shop once. This was a higher mileage car, and they were putting struts in. And there was a receptacle that a bolt went into that was physically part of the frame, and that rusted.
Hmm.
That rusted off, and
yeah.
then it was like, you know, 2 days trying because they're sitting there trying to weld it back together.
Yeah.
Because then they've got the awkward call if they can't fix it. I understand these things, but they have to call somebody that maybe doesn't grasp it and say, "Hey, your car is now dead."
Yeah.
Because we tried to fix it and it rusted and something broke off, and that, you know, John Q. Public is going to be like, "You broke my car. You're paying for a new one." You know, not realizing that it's not their fault. You know, but they have to contend with that all the time, I'm sure.
Yeah, yeah.
It just and beyond that, if you don't deal with rust, then you're dealing with the mitigation of rust, which is getting your car undercoated, you know, every year, every other year,
right.
getting it washed constantly. You know, this is all expense that we have to eat due to using a method to keep the roads clear that other people, you know, get away with not using.
Yeah. All right, I got a couple things here. The messages are coming in hot and heavy. Beet juice, which I had heard of. But I also had a message a little bit earlier before you rang in about the economics of a heat pump now at 31 cents per kilowatt hour and $3 oil compared to 15 years ago when electricity was 15 cents and oil was $3.87. I'm not sure electricity is 31 cents. I'm seeing it more like 24, but at 31 cents and oil at $3 a gallon, that's about a wash. They're about equal in terms of price. So I'm on the governor's energy page right now, and
bit of a convenience and complication issue, you know.
Yeah. So
which is the least complicated system? What's more convenient?
The oil
easier to maintain.
Could I talk now? Calm down.
Sorry, I didn't know you were about to start talking.
Calm down. So,
hackles up today.
Oh, God. I got to change the phone number here. That's all I got to do, right? So, for a heat pump, they're showing electric costs at 24 cents, which is what I thought it was. That's at $26.15 per million million BTUs, excuse me. Oil at $3.34, they're showing at $30.69. Well, oil is 10% cheaper, which pulls that down to about parity with the heat pump. If the heat if the electric cost you're paying is 31 cents, then oil is cheaper. So let's go back to text messages. Hopefully got the right number. Pete for governor, nothing, use nothing on the roads. If they can't drive, they wreck and may not be around after. One less bad driver with no rust. Win-win. I grew up in Ohio where, and it got, when I got real cold, I would use ash from the coal from the power plant. Unfortunately, that is radioactive, which maybe would melt the ice on the roads. Who knows? That's not something.
Illuminate the road.
Yeah, it's not something they do anymore. Pete, we got a. I know it's hard to believe, but we only have a few minutes left now.
Oh, okay. Well, I've got some other ideas I can talk about.
No, let's talk about cars for a moment, because we. Excuse me. You got two cars out the other day.
What did I put out? Oh, okay. Yeah, I did. I've got a 2015 Prius. It's that that blue-green color everybody likes.
That's the best color.
And, yeah, I don't have the miles written down here. It was a little bit up. It was about 175,000 miles.
135? Yeah, it was 100. Yeah. Yep, I remember
175.
Right.
175. I don't know where you're getting 135.
Okay, all right.
It's 175. It's 8K, so that's a good price if you're just looking for a hybrid to get around in. And then what else went out? The 15 RAV4 went out
for
137K. That's probably what you were thinking of.
Okay, yep.
So the 15 RAV4, 137K. It'll get a little bit more character to it, but it runs and drives excellent. That one's 11 grand. And you just said the Highlander, which I think I mentioned last week.
Yeah, I think that was out last week.
I got a 2013 Highlander. It's got 182K on it, 9 grand. It's nicer than mine. It's lower mileage than mine. It's newer than mine.
Third row seat.
It's got the third row seating, and it's the front seat in that one is better than mine, and I want to switch it, but Dad said no. So.
Who is this man?
Oh, well.
What a jerk.
But, so we got those are all, so we got one Prius and two gas cars out, two gas SUVs, but I've got a nice row of three RAV4s right now, right? Hybrid, two gas. And usually when I've got a nice little, hey, this looks good thing set up, one of them sells immediately to screw it all up. So.
All right.
Well, what else have I got? I got that nice little Tacoma over there. That's an 11 with 200K, so that's just getting broken in. Nice little Prius C. It's a 2017. These are all online. Pictures of everything are up there. The RAV4 is not. I'm putting the RAV4 up after I get off the phone.
Oh. Okay.
Well, it went out at the end of the day yesterday, so.
That's true. It did. I'll grant you that indulgence. And we've got.
I am a little surprised that the Prius is still here because any Prius under 10K usually disappears pretty quick.
Yeah. Yep. Let's see what else we got. We got wood pellets this week, so we're ready for winter.
I did turn on the stove last night. I liked it every October. I think I'm going to muscle through to November 1st, and I'm like, that's not going to happen.
Yeah. Well.
So I like to measure how much I consume, and for me, I consider the heating season running from, now apparently mid-October to about June 1st. Realistically, most of us are still running the heat in the evening in May. So
yeah. So last night I started rewiring the heating system around 9 o'clock because it was.
Why wouldn't you do it?
Yeah, it was doing something stupid. It was turning on and off. And my outdoor reset control started acting up. And I might just get a new one. The one I've got was cheap, and apparently it was worth every cent. So I think that's got to go bye-bye. It's going to be a lot simpler without it. So.
Yeah.
And what else? That's about it, I guess. We're trying to get the airplane out. We're not quite there yet. We still have people asking about the stupid plane.
It's getting down to the wire. As soon as we attach that thing to the ground.
Yep.
As soon as it's locked down, somebody's gonna be like, "I'll take it."
Well, no, what we got to do is as soon as we get the wings on it, and then anchor it to the ground so it doesn't blow away. somebody's going to say, oh, I want that. No, we need the whole thing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Exactly.
Then we've got to undo
the whole
it.
Thing off. We're going to take the wings back off, and that's exactly what I'm... Well, fortunately, most of this week's going to be kind of gusty with the wind.
Yeah.
Until the end of the second half of the week is supposed to die down. So yeah. It's going to be then or bust, because I don't want to do it when it's really cold out.
I don't either. I did get the snowplow on the truck this week, though.
Yeah, you do that kind of stuff when I'm not around to upset me, because I know you're gonna. I know you're doing it like
well,
the wrong way, and you're gonna get hurt.
Yeah, well, you hang on, Buster. It's a lot quieter.
No, you go. Somebody's here.
It's a lot quiet. Okay, bye, Pete.
I got it.
All right, okay, see ya. There's a customer. Quick. No, honestly, being as he's gone now, it's a lot quieter when he's not there. And what had happened was he had put the plow on a broken pallet, and I'm trying to put it on by myself with the forklift, you know, lift it up to where it needed to be. And the pallet kept cracking and breaking, and I finally said, no, no mas. Stopped, got all my jacks out, lifted the blade up, and it's a Boss plow. It's heavy. And pulled the pallet out, put a new pallet underneath it, lifted it up. I was like 2 minutes and it was done. So there you go. It said, Tom, also the guy wearing the fedora at the auction is there to bid you up. Well, yeah, that's true. But we're out of time, so it doesn't matter. Well, it's next week. I'll watch out for that guy with the fedora. Hey, have a great week. We'll see you next week. Stay dry.
Practicality, D doesn't interest me. Love the life that I lead. I've got a pocket full of miracles, and with a pocket full of miracles, one little miracle a day is all I need. T-Rubble's more or less, B are the me, I guess. When the sun doesn't shine.